It's Marketplace Tech for March 28th. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. Today, people who have been excited about Oculus, the company that for 4 years has been promising a virtual reality headset for the consumer, are finally seeing those packages show up in the mail. So we're dedicating today's show to virtual reality and the future of storytelling in the digital world. Virtual reality promises immersive 360-degree environments of all kinds for the user. The Oculus also promises a required upgrade in computing power for a lot of people, as Nova Safo reports.
To use the Oculus Rift headset, you need a powerful computer, probably not one you already own, says Nathan Edwards of the tech blog The Wirecutter.
99% of the laptops on the market don't work, maybe even higher than that.
Oculus, which is owned by Facebook, is offering deals that include desktops for around $1,600. That's too pricey for the mainstream market, says Stephanie Yamas of Super Data Research.
We don't see a lot of adoption with non-gamers.
She says prices could eventually come down, but mass adoption won't happen until mobile devices can pack enough power for virtual reality.
There are quite a few hardware companies that are looking to be first movers in that market.
Like Samsung and Microsoft, software developers are also ramping up, and not just for games. Michael Pachter is with Wedbush Securities.
Every realtor will do 360 views of every house that they have for sale.
Within a few years, Pachter says virtual reality will be routine. In Chicago, I'm Nova Safo for Marketplace.
When I was in Austin recently at the annual South by Southwest Interactive Conference, virtual reality was all the rage. A good indicator when the gray lady has bought in. The New York Times rented out a popular bar in downtown Austin to host panel discussions and throw parties with virtual reality as the centerpiece. Toni Cruthards is product manager at the New York Times. She's a believer not just in the virtual reality content being built by the Times, but also in the new VR products for consumers.
I'm very interested in the Samsung Gear VR platform. It's insanely immersive and it is easily obtainable for people who aren't interested in spending $1,000 on a VR headset.
Samsung, HTC, Microsoft, Oculus, and Sony, all of those companies now have headsets either on order or in the hands of consumers. Let's stick with our virtual reality theme for a moment more. I talked to Sri Srinivasan in Austin. He's chief digital officer for the Metropolitan Museum. He said he visited the headquarters of Oculus and that the museum world is excited about the possibilities of the platform as a vehicle to tell stories.
Areas like culture, media, entertainment, and the news have enormous potential for VR. VR has been around. It's that kind of tipping point that it has to hit.
All the activity we're seeing around virtual reality right now might signal that tipping point. Now, one of the attractive ideas of virtual reality is that it gives added dimensions to content, literally and figuratively. To do that effectively, you often have to digitize a lot of information. Well, the other day, I went to New York Public Library Labs in Queens, New York. The NYPL has a huge project called the Space-Time Directory. It uses archive material from the library and attaches it to maps so that you can sort of travel around New York in different time periods. One day, one might picture that layered time-traveling experience happening with a virtual reality or augmented reality headset. For it to work, though, you need archived material to be moved from analog into the digital world. That process is happening right now at the Black Curtains booths full of cameras at NYPL Labs, with the help of digitization services manager Eric Schaus.
Yeah, so this is our book scanner. What we have here is a bound book that is sitting underneath a glass platen that raises and lowers through a pneumatic system. We're using medium format cameras. Mm-hmm. There are two of them in this instance, and they're each pointed at an opposing page.
Yeah.
So we're capturing both pages at the same time.
Would you say that you're basically taking paper and putting it into computers?
that is almost fair. That's almost fair. I mean, the key here is that we aren't doing a sort of old-fashioned microfilming of material in order to preserve it.
Why is it so important to have so much control over the imaging?
One of our primary goals is to image the material that comes to this lab as naturalistically as possible, so that if you are a researcher encountering this material on the web, you would be getting the clearest possible image of what it would be like to encounter that material in person.
One more, right?
Yeah, we have one more shooting bay here.
Hi.
This is Stephen Crossett, who is photographing a...
It's a tiny book.
It's a tiny book. It is a rare French volume.
How long does it take?
2.5 days.
Can you give me an example of, like, I don't know, in the past 6 months, a page that you remember?
Yeah, we did Theodore Roosevelt's Winning the West. All the pages had crazy writing on it,
notes.
Very dense.
Notes in the margins, is that where you're...
He handwrote everything, notes in the margin, and all of his fingerprints on the backside. So he was a messy writer. Other people from the same era that we saw... very clean, very crisp. He just wanted to get it done.
Do you ever feel like it's just an endless deluge of stuff?
Of course.
And, like, when will it stop?
It's never going to stop. No, there are 51 million objects in the library, and
You're going to do them all.
It's not even a drop in the bucket at this point.
It doesn't make you crazy?
No.
No, you love it.
No, I mean, if this is if we're translating, large bodies of human knowledge, the track record for that translating process has been it takes a long time.
Yeah. Yeah. Eric Schaus at NYPL Labs. Our website isn't 360 degrees yet, but we've got some imagery, photos from the New York Public Library archives, like one of Teddy Roosevelt's book, can be seen at marketplacetech.org. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like...
What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.